Good morning.
Good morning, Malcolm.
Good morning, Malcolm. Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Great.
Getting ready for a happy Memorial Day? Right now, I think you're the only one on, so.
Okay. Okay.
Anna.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yes, hello.
Malka's on the phone as well.
Okay. Randall.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good morning.
We will begin with a listen with Deanna Bacoa. Anna Bacoa, Gedula Chuminha, Tati, Seruva, Alpha Gimel, Utah, Tati. Trina Amcha Sagvenu Tahareinu Nora Tufrei Shayim Simtet Nun Na Gibor Dorshe Yehuta Kevava Shamrem Num Gimel Dalet Jitka Shin. Bar Hem Taharim Rakame Sikata Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Saditaf Gimel. Chasim Kadosh Bero Tuvcha Nael Adata Ketufet, Tetunayim. Yachid Gehe, Lamcha Pene, Zofre Kiddushata, Yud Gimel. I am Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushmati Akatenu, Yodea Talumo, Shin Kufav, Tadiyuta. We brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanum, Erech Apayim, Virav Chesed Be'emet, Noter Chesed La'alapim, Nosea Won Wafesha, V'chata'a V'nakei. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. There is one verse that we study from the Tanakh. It has this energy, connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'amil Yisrael, untati v'shakam. Tachtav v'lo yirgas, od v'lo yosifu. B'nei avla la'anoto ka'ashe b'rishona. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, and we will do so after we say L'shem Yichud. The verse that we connect to for that connects to energy is from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It's from Parasha Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bithilu Erhimud Hilud Hilu Erhimu Ve'achda L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananei Hu. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nandekucha Brichu Koma De'aved Le'ela Wetata Tolak iru kishot biovada dikshot, belayt lach mila bialma divae barnash, bedach yaleya mine yaulan haga, beyakalana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikola itsteris. Those Tzaddikim who have chosen to leave this day, the 21st of Iyar, Rabbi Yitzhak Elzik Sigal and Rabbi Yaakov Yosef HaKohen Rabinowitz, and those who have decided to leave tonight, the 22nd day of Iyar, Rabbi Shlomo Eliezer Alfandri and Rabbi Mordechai Shraga Feibish, Friedman of Huziata. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoach, we say in a whisper, we will now connect to the Ani meditation, which is a tool we use to maintain balance. Malchut, Yo Aheni Wayohe, Yo Aheni Wayohe, Yo Aheni Wayohe, Yesod. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. Hod. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. Netzach. Ye ahini wu yohi. Ye ahini wu yohi. Ye ahini we yohi. Tiferet. Yo ahoni wo yoho. Yo ahoni wo yoho. Yo ahoni wo yoho. Gibura. Ye ach ni we yoch. Ye ach ni we yoch. Ye ach ni we yoch. Chesed. Ye aheni we yohe. Ye aheni we yohe. Ye aheni we yohe. Bina. Ye aheni we yohe. Ye aheni we yohe. Ye aheni we yohe. Achma. Ye aheni we yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Keter. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. Ya ahani wa yoha. We will now connect to the Esther Dibrotz after we say the first two lines of the Shema Yisrael. Please cover your eyes and lean slightly to the left as we say, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And we'll now say L'Shem Yichud and then the 10 utterances. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Hu Ishkin Tevit Hilu Urchimu Hilu Urchilu Urchimu Ve'akta L'shem Yud Hei Bavav Hei V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kolenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kolenei. Vaidaber Elohim et yipol ha-devarim ha-eile le-mor. Anochi Hashem Elohecha asher otzeiticha. Me'eretz Mitzrayim mi-beit avadim lo yihye lecha Elohim acherim al panai lo taseh. Lecha pesel v'chal temuna asher b'shamayim mima'al v'asher ba'aretz mitachat v'asher b'mayim mitachat La eretz lo tishtach alechem, v'lo ta'avdem, ki anochi Hashem Elohecha Elkana poked. Avon avot al bamim al shileshim v'yal ribeim v'shodai. V'yoseh chesed v'alafim v'ohavai u'shomrei mitzvotai lo tisa et shem Hashem Elohecha v'lishav ki lo yinakeh Hashem et asher yisa et shemo lashav zachor et yom ha-shabbat lekadsho sheishet yamim tavod v'asita kom lachtecha v'yom ha-shvi Shabbat Lashem Elohecha, lo ta'aser kom lacha, ata uvincha, uvitecha, avdecha v'yamatcha, uvhemtecha v'gercha, asher bisharecha, ki sheshet yamin, Asa Hashem et Hashamayim, v'et haaretz, et hayam, v'et kol asher bam, v'yanoch, v'yanach b'yom hashvi. Al ken berach Hashem et yom ha-shabbat, v'yekad shehu. Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha lema'an ya'arikun yamecha al ha'adama asher Hashem Elohecha noten lach lo tirtzach lo tinaf lo tigdov lo tane bereacha Ad shaker lo tachbod, Beit re'echa lo tachmod, Eshet re'echa, V'yavdo v'yamato, V'shoro v'chamoro, V'kol asher l're'echa. In the abridged Kaddish, to elevate ourselves to the level of our class today, it kadal v'it kadash shemei rabba, and we all say amen. V'alma divra kirute v'yam lich malchute v'chayechon v'yomechon. Uvachaye de kol beit Yisrael. Vagala uvizman kariv. Itbarach v'ishtabach. Itbar v'itromam. Vitnase v'itadar v'italev. V'italal shmei dekucha. Le'ela min kol birkata v'shirata. Ushpechata, v'nechemata, da'amiran bi'alma. Yehei shlama rabba min shamaya, v'chaim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael, v'imru amen. Ose shalom bimromav, hu yase shalom aleinu, we all call Yisrael, v'imru amen. our class today. Can be found on the unique astrological times link that's underneath the pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage or at the bottom of the page on a mobile device. When that landing page opens up, scroll down to about 2 inches from the bottom, where we are in the section of the preparation and the study from Shavuot evening. And we are starting with the link that says Shavuot, Mount Sinai, Immortality, Part 1. That will be our handout for today. This is an article written and then given on a Shabbat by Rabbi Philip Berg. And it was published in a blog that was written by the Kabbalah Learning Center and the blogger Billy Phillips. Before my entry into the world of Kabbalah in 1962, I was a traditional observant Jew. I observed the Jewish holiday known as Shavuot in the Orthodox manner. This holiday, which commemorates the giving of the Ten Utterances, required that we study biblical or Talmudic texts all night until dawn, at which time we would pray and then go to sleep. This was the way I had observed Shavuot from the age when I was first capable of staying awake all night. As I understood then, it was customary to observe this holiday in commemoration of the event on Mount Sinai. The reason for studying was to display our connection to the event, and that was all there was to it. It was a traditional observance with no particular personal meaning for me. My commentary. There are many Orthodox manners of praying and celebrating Shavuot. Many of these include staying up all night on the night of Shavuot. To my knowledge, only the Kabbalistic Minhag and the Sephardic Minhag utilize the Zohar discussion about the crowns of the Shekhinah. The crowns of the Shekhinah are two-letter Hebrew sequences that come from each book of the Tanakh. As we read on this, this will become more familiar to us. The reader may then imagine how shocked and confused I was when I experienced my first Kabbalistic Shavuot with my master, Rav Yehuda Brandwein. We seemed to be practicing and observing the holiday just as I had since childhood. It was truly a revelation to me, however, to learn the why of the event. And this was the explanation of the revelation event and what it was meant to do for me today, 3,400 years later. I really could not believe my ears. My master first reminded me that anyone who referred to this holiday as the commemoration of the giving of the Ten Utterances or the initiation of a new religion, specifically Judaism, was mistaken. Furthermore, he continued, the entire tradition omitted the most significant aspect. When I heard him say this, I was trembling. What had I and all of Jewry forgot throughout the millenniums? What had we missed? I had been steeped in the religious observance of this event and believed I had been taught all there was to know about the Esser Dibrot. After all, if you memorize them, don't you know them? First, Rabbi Brandwein began, never again refer to the event as the Lord's gift of the Esser Dibrot. There was no event that signified commandments. My commentary. I am taking an aside to explain what is not being said about the concept of commandments. A command is the translation of the word mitzvah. In Hebrew, the word mitzvah, mem tzadi vav hei, has two shorashim, two roots. One is command, tzav, tzadi vav. This leaves the letters that spell the word ma, which translates as what. This teaches us that mitzvah can be translated as what command, or command what. This is teaching us that the other shorash is more accurate, and that the shorash is not command. The second shorash is mem tzadi, which means attached. The letters that are left are the Vav and He, which is a component of the Creator's name. Thus, the real meaning of mitzvah is attached to Hashem. There is another connection through the Hebrew letters, using the Atbash method of letter substitution. The Mem becomes a Yud and the Tzadi becomes a He. Thus, mitzvah becomes Hashem's name, Yud Hei Vav Hei. The Kabbalah explains that when someone accepts a command from someone, even the Creator, they become an effect and lose the opportunity to be a cause. Because a cause is one explanation of the purpose of creation. Upon hearing these words, I might have said goodbye. I really do not want to hear anything more. But my master had a reputation as a rabbi, a scholar, and a Kabbalist, so I stayed. He continued by reciting something I faintly recalled from the Talmud, the statement that what happened on Mount Sinai was the revelation of the Ten Utterances. Why, I wondered, would the Talmud use the word utterances? Most of the world considered the revelation on Mount Sinai to be the revelation of the Ten Commandments. Every moviegoer is familiar with the spectacular movie, The Ten Utterances. It's directed by Cecil B. DeMille. He literally immortalized the awareness of the revelation incident. Upon learning that the event on Mount Sinai involved not commandments, but utterances, however, I asked my master how such a misunderstanding had emerged. Why had this mistaken interpretation been permitted to stretch out over the millennia? The answer was shocking. After all my years in rabbinical study, my master's response was a complete deviation as to the methodology used in approaching the more important events in Scripture. My teacher explained to me that behind every misunderstanding that emerged from the significant event of the revelation lay the sinister hand of the Satan, and it was his continued presence that perpetuated this gross distortion. The Satan places great emphasis on maintaining this mistaken interpretation, my master explained. The Satan was familiar with the time of revelation and the ten utterances, but the true purpose of the revelation, said my master, could be summed up in one word, immortality. And I am adding, this must be internalized. Immortality is the most important essence of the Torah. Every other energy and or essence that comes from the Torah pales in significance to immortality. One must reach certainty in immortality to manifest the true energy of the Esser Dibrot, or the Ten Utterances, as we will see. On Shavuot, we receive the energy of immortality, provided we have cleansed ourselves and connected to certainty during the period of the counting of the Omer. Recalling this crucial new understanding of the connection between Shavuot and immortality, Karen and I decided to establish this long-forgotten tenet that belonged to all mankind. The Mount Sinai Revelation experience. We gave the attendees a mini-experience of immortality by guaranteeing them that by fulfilling the requirements outlined by the Zohar and by Rabbi Isaac Luria, they could enjoy the next 4 months without the fear of death. This concept was too much for many, including some who had been taking formula assessments. And this concept of having immortality for 4 months was too much for many people to accept, even those who had been immersed in the teachings of the center up to that moment. Many close friends of the center warned us that this guarantee was stretching our luck too far. But Karen and I were determined. If Kabbalah is indeed the solution and the salvation for all humankind, we are going to write it for all it's worth. The beauty of Kabbalah is that regardless of what one's religion may be, Kabbalistic teachings can rid life of chaos. My commentary. Throughout human history, one person's attitude that they are right and the other guy is wrong and has led to wars and chaos. Even today, most religious Jews learn from their rabbis that the other religions are wrong and serve some form of idol. What Rabbi Berg is saying in the above statement, that even if someone is serving an idol, which should imply and manifest the chaotic effect, that will not happen if one stays up the night of Shavuot and studies the Torah. It is too long to explain in this study today. Later on in Shavuot, if one will remind me, we will explain it and how this actually works. The revelation of the Ten Utterances. The understanding of the true significance of what occurred on Mount Sinai is of great import. Once you turn on this understanding, it increases the brightness, and more of the true meaning of the event is revealed. In order for the process of mortality to be reversed, every single one of the components must be prepared in order to realize the whole. Additionally, the process must occur in harmony with the cosmic calendar. Only in this way can the energy for immortality be released at the appropriate time with the right consciousness. Each and every year, the right moment comes around. And this is the significance of the revelation. I am adding, this is the significance of the holiday of Shavuot. Yes, the immortality energy is present within the light. With the right meditations and the complete wisdom of Kabbalah, people are allowed to tap into the light's awesome energy, drawing it into their bodies, meeting its enemy, mortality energy. The light force is capable of completely eliminating mortality, as if it had never been there. Just as a light bulb eliminates darkness from a room when the switch is turned on. The removal of the mortality influence. The mortality influence goes deep. Mortality at the time of the Garden of Eden penetrated to the genetic level. Two distinct stages are required for its removal. The first is for us to become prepared for the transformation, to cease doubting, to have certainty. We must leave our cynicism and show me egos behind and change over to certainty consciousness. And after this, we must allow ourselves to receive the radical metaphysical alteration that we undergo when we truly open ourselves to Kabbalah energy. We must, of our own free will, choose immortality. I am adding, read the above paragraph again and again until you own the desire to receive immortality. The Kabbalah and science, each in their own way and using its own vocabulary, are beginning to explain mortality as a gene and/or a space in that gene. The revelation at Mount Sinai each and every year returns our gene structure to what it was in Adam prior to the eating from the tree of knowledge and the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The mistake of Mount Sinai. When my master discussed the revelation on Mount Sinai, he said that soon the circumstances would appear in which I would receive my confirmation that immortality was real. I felt that he was referring to what Karen and I had established as the Mount Sinai revelation experience. By the late 1970s, these gatherings included scholars who were Kabbalah educated and initiated. Although the conferences were open to all who could raise their consciousness to the level of acceptance of immortality, many of the established Jewish communities were opposed to linking this event to Shavuot. They asked that we redesignated the event as the giving of the Ten Commandments, and that we omit the word immortality. When I indicated that his event was less my own idea, but instead embodied conclusions reached by the Zohar, the hostility became still more intense. However, I knew that there was no turning back. where the traditional methods of observation of this holiday ignored the Zohar. My master believed, and I believe, that dogmatic form of religion was never the intent of the revelation. Neither was the revelation intended as an event in which the Jewish people became a nation. The purpose of the revelation was instead to restore the universe to an orderly, structured nature, a world where the life force's law, as it existed before Adam. To any rational mind, this new approach was exactly what people wanted and what people needed. Why would this interpretation of the revelation bring down the terrible wrath of the Jewish establishment? And hostility between Jews only seen during the destruction of the temples. This is even more incomprehensible to me when I consider that immortality is a concept accepted within all of the major religions. My commentary. The various religions each have an agenda regarding immortality. None of these expected agendas have the idea that this immortality can come in a natural, normal medical technology advancement. This may not happen this way, yet it may happen this way. This is the reason the major religious establishments do not accept the teachings of Kabbalah. They know immortality will happen. They just want it to be in a miraculous sound and light show. In that method, a natural normal medical technology, or even a normal herbal path, is not acceptable to those people. Yet each one of us needs to make a choice for ourselves. Time travel. In our day-to-day lives, a strange paradox exists. Although people are consumed by death consciousness, they are at the same time engaged in an incredible denial of death. It's as if life and death have been reversed. For example, there is rarely an adult who has not been asked to purchase life insurance so as to provide for his or her dependent children in the event of the death of the provider. Ever the questioner, I have wondered why do they, the insurance companies, call this life insurance when its proper name should be death insurance? Inasmuch as payment of this policy will occur only when the insured dies. But those who attend our celebration of the revelation on Mount Sinai are truly acquiring life insurance, a guarantee that they will survive for the next 3 or 4 months until the end of the Hebrew astrological year, until Rosh Hashanah. For the present, this small taste of immortality is a pleasure to offer. Just as before a large meal, one is offered a sample of the chef's talents in order to whet the appetite. In the 30 years that the center has been providing the Kabbalistic revelation experience, there has not been a single death among those who have attended in the 4 month period immediately following the revelation experience. This is what the master had originally foreseen when he shared his vision of immortality Little did Karen and or I know where that humble beginning would take us. Today, thousands of people around the globe are reaping the benefits of the Master's prophecy. The idea that mini immortality was a virtual reality spread like wildfire. The notion that a time travel machine was available has even intrigued scientists. While the center's findings could not be verified by conventional scientific methods, this did not deter students from around the world from attending the Mount Sinai Revelation experience. To achieve immortality, albeit for 4 months only, requires traveling back in time. Although the time machine has thus far been a part of a science fiction only, and not of science, scientists have explained that if such a thing as a time machine ever existed, it would be as if time slowed down in actuality. While the years would go by in real time, they would not age. When we achieve permanent immortality, the close stops altogether for all time. Although the rational mind cannot grasp the concept of time slowing down or stopping permanently, the fact has already been established. The controversy that has surrounded our claims in this regard may be compared to the 19th century debate over air travel. Some claimed that heavier-than-air machines would never remain aloft, yet pioneers persisted until airplanes became a reality. Time travel simply means that one can travel faster than the speed of light. Albert Einstein claimed that it was impossible to travel faster than the speed of light, because if one could, then there would be no past, present, or future. Everything would be in the here and now, the present. Time would stop. There would be no aging. Einstein never proved that one cannot travel faster than the speed of light. He merely reasoned that such a phenomenon could not exist. If it did, people could travel back in time. If they could travel back in time, they would go back and stop upon reaching their vigorous youth. Einstein did not believe in time travel simply because he did not see the theory in practice. He could not accept the theory of immortality because he could not personally witness this reality. Today, science has confirmed that particles exist that can travel faster than the speed of light. Science is finally catching up with the Kabbalah. Yet one of the obstacles that science must deal with is their uncertainty principle, how aptly titled. It demonstrated how far physics remains behind Kabbalah. For as we know, one of the prime causes of chaos is that the Satan has infused human consciousness with the principle of uncertainty. We must choose to change all this. To achieve temporary or permanent immortality requires certainty that the revelation on Mount Sinai will accomplish this long sought after reality. There is nothing to reality aside from consciousness. If in our minds we have doubts whether the revelation on Mount Sinai created immortality, then all Kabbalistic meditations and connections will not serve us in achieving immortality. This act of traveling back in time was detailed in the Zohar. On the night of the Kabbalistic revelation experience, all those who participate are provided with the methodology that assists them in connecting with the cosmos. It is this vital connection that embodies and perpetuates the energy of the mini more immortality. My commentary. The Kabbalistic technology is the 24 crown jewels from the Torah. And if you do not yet know what this is, join a Kabbalistic study during the night of Shavuot. And this is where we will be stopping today from the handout. But I want to make it clear. To achieve immortality requires that each person know that immortality comes from the Torah. It doesn't come anywhere else. It's not built into the natural laws, except in a concealed manner. And the revelations of immortality energy requires that people know this to be true. And just as Rabbi Berg expressed, Einstein didn't know that he could travel faster than the speed of light because he'd never seen it happen. Does not mean it did not happen. And immortality follows that same pattern, but on a grander scale. Because people, generally speaking, have not seen other people die, or because they do see other people die, they agree that immortality exists. All it would take is for one person out of the 7.5 billion in the world. All it would take is for one person to recognize and teach in a way that they could see that there is no such thing as immortality. Excuse me, mortality. There is no such thing keeping the human being from learning how to live forever. Does anyone have any questions? We have a class at 3 p.m. this afternoon that continues our studies of advanced reincarnation. One at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon or evening. It is the study of the parasha from the Zohar. The Parasha of Lech Lecha that we are doing a deep Zohar study upon. And the our 7 o'clock tomorrow has the indications of the Ari's writings. I bid you all a beautiful Shavuot Tov, a happy Memorial Day tomorrow, and all the best Kol Tov throughout your lives, your immortal lives. Shalom Gadol to all.
Thank you. Shalom. Have a good holiday.
Thank you.
Thank you.